as I said, going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fly. You're gonna make your fortune by and by.
Yeah. But if you lose, don't ask no. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Valerie Genghis is going to join us. She's a best-selling author, speaker, and motivational person who's going to help us out talking about what's going on with our lives and how we can cope with what's happening at this weird time. We are also going to talk about haunted houses. And if you've ever been someplace haunted, and the most haunted places in Chicago. We always play classic Johnny Carson clips, and you can watch the Johnny Carson show every night on Antenna TV, and I highly recommend it. We've got an absolute classic this morning that we're going to play at 2:30, and it is the Jack Webb Dragnet parody with Johnny Carson, Copper Clappers. One of the best. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Eric Childress and Steve Procopi join me every week to review new movies, although that's kind of pretty much on hiatus. So we've decided to do different things each week to talk about that you can watch from the comfort of your own home. Right now, the Chicago Critics Film Festival would be happening at the Music Box, but obviously that's on hold. But you can still see some great movies that debuted at the Chicago Critics Film Fest in the past, and they're streaming now, and Eric and Steve have your recommendations. Here's Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
All right. Eric, how are you holding up?
I'm doing okay. Certainly keep myself busy, keep my mind away from stuff. It's a weird time, and I am starting to get that itch for the few things that I like to actually do when I leave the house, like going to see movies or seeing friends and things like that. You know, I mean, it's a modern time. There are a lot of different ways to do that, but it never quite beats the things that we have, you know, in many ways have taken for granted over the years because of what's going on. And I'm holding up.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Steve?
Good. This weekend has definitely helped by the fact that
we got Steve. We got to hold on. I think we're gonna have to get you on a new. We have to get you on a new line. That sounded like not good. So we'll get him on a different line, a different phone or something like that. So, Eric, the Chicago Critics Film Festival would have been happening right now, correct?
Yeah. Maybe it was should have started on Friday, and it would have been going through this Thursday, as we always do a week at the Music Box.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have guests already lined up, and did you have to make cancellations, or
we had a half dozen films booked already. We've been working all the way through February and into the first week of March, right before South by Southwest canceled. That's when sort of everything really kind of got stalled for a bit, because everyone just kind of, you know, it's not the right time to be going like, hey, you want to come to Chicago now? And everyone just kind of stopped talking. So everyone just kind of sort of mutually agreed to just put the brakes on a little bit.
Yeah.
We had films booked. We were in negotiations to bring in directors and talent, some pretty big names. And, you know, we had a closing night film pretty much set up. We had more sponsors than we've ever had in the past already established, and that was even getting larger. So for everything to sort of pull the plug the way we did, it sucks, really. I mean, there's no other way to put it than, thinking about the Friday ritual where I'm always on my way to the Music Box, I'm loading posters into my car, and I got everything ready, and we're making sure everything is set up for the opening night, and then seeing that crowd show up and introducing the night and getting those nerves out of the way, and then everything's just smooth sailing from there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry it had to happen this way, but how you doing, Steve?
Good. I was just going to say, the weekend was definitely helped by the fact that yesterday, Saturday, I actually found an excuse to walk back into the Music Box, because they're doing this to-go thing now where you can actually purchase, like, their popcorn and a few other items there and then go pick it up. And considering that the Music Box has, I mean, it's consistently rated the best popcorn in the city, that's a huge deal. And we have, like, a very small window on Friday and Saturday nights and you can go on the website and order like a package of popcorn and candy and drinks, including beer and wine. And but all the slots, like most of the slots, sold out this weekend. So so people are definitely want their popcorn.
Yeah.
And I did too. So
yeah, but no, the Music Box has incredible popcorn.
Yeah, and so it was a good, like I said, it was a good excuse to just put the mask on and walk inside again for the first time since I had to look it up, March 14th, the last time I was in a movie theater. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, it's good to hear that that's happening. It's do people just go online to
yeah,
check
just
it out?
Go on their website. It just says Music Box to go. There's three different packages to choose from. Like I said, you can get it with basically it's a huge bag of popcorn. It's not like the large size that we usually sell. It's like a huge plastic bag of popcorn. And then you can either get like two sodas or a four pack of beer or a bottle of wine and then like a couple bags of candy. And it's like there's like a whole thing. And then, like, you pull up and you pick a window to drive. I think it's between 4 and 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. And then you just, when you pull up, you just call the box office and they bring it out to you. But yeah, I hopped out of my car and ran inside just because I needed to be back inside there breathe that rarefied air for a little while.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's a great service. That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's great that the Music Box is doing that.
There's a few theaters around the city. I know the Pickwick is doing it. There was a big article in the Tribune about it last week. And there's a few theaters that have, like, good popcorn that are doing it and selling a bunch of stuff. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, you guys, so hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to talk about is some movies that were at the Chicago Critics Film Festival, and we'll give you some advice on some of those movies that are available now, right here on WGN.
What would I give for just a moments.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline studio here until 4. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke a little bit later on because it's a jokey time. Valerie Genghis is going to join us, best-selling author and motivational speaker. We're going to talk about how we can get through these times and some advice from her. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would love to hear from you. We always talk with Eric Childress and Steve Procopi about the new movies. There aren't really any new movies to talk about, so we've been trying to give you some tips on what to watch from the comfort of your own home that's available for streaming and so on and so forth. Eric, welcome.
Thank you.
And Steve, welcome. Now, Steve, I did want to mention that there's a documentary about Pauline Kael.
Yes.
That is available, correct?
Yeah, it's through, or you can get it right now through the Music Box virtual cinema page, but this actually opened up at the Landmark a couple of months ago, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I reviewed it on the show, but it's terrific, and it's like a lot of the movies that kind of hit that cusp where they were kind of in the middle of a run. When the theaters shut down are coming back, and that might have qualified there. I've noticed some of these theaters that are opening up in other states are, weirdly enough, I don't know if you've seen this, Eric, they're bringing back things like Invisible Man and The Hunt and all the Bloodshot, all the things that were kind of in the theaters, and even Trolls World Tour, that some of them are playing that now. So so I'm wondering if that's what we're in store for, like maybe come June, if theaters that decide to open then. But yes, the Pauline Kael documentary is really terrific, and it really only scratches the surface of what made her great. But I think for people who don't necessarily know who she is but want to hear sort of an alternative look at some classic cinema, should definitely check the film out. But yeah, you can go to the Music Box page. There's a whole page of, I think there's about a half dozen films that were you can view through the Music Box, and we get a part of the proceeds if you actually watch these films through the Music Box.
Right. Okay, good. So check that out. Another reason to check out the Music Box website. Okay. All right, Steve, let's start with you. We're talking about some of the best movies that premiered at the Chicago Critics Film Fest over the years. And let's start with one of your choices, Stories We Tell.
Yeah, I mean, this is the quote-unquote documentary that Sarah Polley put together ostensibly about her life, But it, you know, it, as the film goes on, we start to learn that it's a little bit of a genre twisting film. And she kind of plays with documentary and fiction and blurs the line and in many cases erases the line. But it's a terrific, this was part of our first festival, when we had it out at Rosemont, and it was, I mean, it was a big deal because to me that year was about, and the other person who was there that I consider like a big deal, we'll get to in a second, but she actually came out for it, and Eric and I did a Q&A with her, a really great one. And I think she was thrilled to be there, and she was thrilled in particular that it was critics who invited her, because I think the film was being very well received by critics and probably helping it a great deal, which is why she was happy to be there. But it's just such a great exploration of the elusive nature of truth and memory, and it's a personal film, but it's also very much about how narratives are shaped and how they're defined, and family, and it's a whole bunch of things, but it comes together really beautifully.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a really, really, really great movie. I know, Eric, you love that movie too, so.
Yeah, it was one of my absolute favorite movies that year. It was one of my favorite movies of the decade, actually, and you know, to follow up what Steve was saying, I mean, this was literally the first movie we ever played at the festival. It was our opening night film of the festival. Steve and I did that opening Q&A with Sarah. And she has recently come back on Twitter, I guess, after a hiatus or something. And I just happened to reach out to her in the morning that she announced she was back. And we just had a brief conversation about the festival. And she said publicly, she said this is one of the best film festival experiences she ever had. And I think it was mainly because of what Steve mentioned, that there was a personal nature to it. And she was such a great guest. And she gave the festival an early legitimacy by being the first guest to sign on to be at the festival and be there on opening night. So I want her to make another movie so we can have her at the Music Box at some point. We owe so much to Sarah Polley in this movie.
Well, that same year you had another great guest, Stephen, another movie that you mentioned from the from the 2013 inaugural festival, a great movie, Sorcerer.
Yeah, I mean, we William Friedkin was, I think, at the beginning of a book tour, and we somehow got a hold of a nice 35 millimeter print from the Paramount archives, and we were able to play that, and that's just one of those great. Again, it's like a critic thing. Like a lot of critics love that movie now, and. But at the time, it was like ignored for multiple reasons. It was ignored, but critically, it was also kind of panned for being a remake of this classic film. And yet, in the years since, it has become sort of one of the most underrated films, not just of his, but of the whole era. And we were just lucky to have him. There's video of most of these Q&As, but there's at least a piece of that, I think, where he somehow, I think it was Peter Sabzinski who did the Q&A with me, brought up Exorcist 2, and just to watch him stand up, get out of his chair, and just rant against it. It's a beautiful piece of film. Just watching him rip it apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's again like a great highlight, and I get to have dinner with him that night because I was sort of babysitting him while the movie was playing, and it was just a wonderful conversation. So
yeah, I had him on my show for that, and it was one of the best interviews that I've ever had to do. I mean, he was great. It was great, and he was plugging a book, so it was a combination of that. So yeah, great stuff. Sorcerer, really terrific movie. You know, I remember the first time I saw that movie, I was a little befuddled. Because, you know, like, I thought it was going to be a horror movie, and I was like, oh, it's from the director of The Exorcist, the font was really weird, and the poster was strange, and I was like, oh, it's going to be a horror movie, and that's not a horror movie at all.
Still pretty scary, though, but it's a movie he made right after The Exorcist,
right.
Which really set the bar high for a lot of people, so, yeah.
Okay, all right, Eric, They Came Together, this was from the 2014 Fest.
Yeah, and this was our inaugural film at the Music Box when we went over to the Music Box in 2014, and we had David Wayne there for our opening night, a packed opening night. It was just like that was the moment we realized, like, hey, we might have something with this festival here at the Music Box. But They Came Together as this great spoof parody. parody on romantic comedies, starring Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. David Wayne directed the film. You know, there aren't a whole lot of great parodies in the post-Zucker Abrams world, but this is absolutely one of them. And the film was barely released in theaters afterwards, despite how great the response the movie got. And it is so incredibly funny, and if you're a fan of any of those people, it really is a must see.
Yeah, it's really terrific, and unbelievable cast.
Oh yeah,
like really unbelievable. So, all right, that's They Came Together, which is available on HBO Now and HBO Go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Steve, what about Animals?
Was that our closing night that year, Eric?
It certainly was.
It was okay. So we're going from the opening to the closing, but it was this again a local. It was always really important to us to at least find a couple films every year that were local productions, and this was directed by Colin Shifley and starring and written by David Desmalchin, and it's a again really personal story about this young couple who are drug addicts and living in a broken down car along like somewhere near Lincoln Park Zoo, I think it is, and they're just sort of go through these rituals of stealing and scoring, and it's Dave basically Desmalchin said, and he wasn't shy about it, that it was like it's his life story from just a few years earlier, and it's heartbreaking, and it just was a not just a great closing night film, but just a gut punch of a way to end a festival. So, yeah, I mean, but it was great to have them. Colin and David were there. And, I mean, even now, I still talk and talk to and see David just from this experience, from meeting him at this event. But, I feel like we were on the verge of booking another one of their films, if I'm not mistaken. But maybe we were. I don't know. But we miss them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So that's Animals. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's available on Amazon Prime and Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Recommending movies that you can stream at home, as we all are stuck at home. But these were all, they made their debut at the Chicago Critics Film Festival, which would have been happening to this week. All right, Eric, The Congress.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting hybrid science fiction film that stars Robin Wright, and more or less in playing a version of herself, set in the future where she's been tasked, really, with creating a digital version of herself so future audiences can enjoy Robin Wright performances throughout the years. But the movie sort of shifts halfway through and becomes this animated science fiction film. And this was a big success on the festival circuit around this time when we got to play it, and still one of our better attended midnight films that we ever showed. I actually think it's one of Robin Wright's best performances, and it's a really unique film that I would like more people to get a chance to check out.
I love this movie.
Yeah,
I love it. It's available on Netflix, and you're right. Robin Wright is amazing in it. It's a terrific performance, and it's another one that has a great cast.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel, John Hamm,
Paul Giamatti.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a really terrific movie that's available on Netflix, and it's called The Congress. Okay. All right, Steve. I love this next one. That guy, Dick Miller.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's a documentary about the great American character actor, maybe the greatest of all time, Dick Miller. The guy has worked with everybody, both in terms of directors and co-stars, and we were lucky enough to not only have him there, but we played Bucket of Blood right after the screening of the documentary, and I feel like we got him just in time, too. I'm really happy we were able to share that with him, and I think he and his wife had a terrific time, and I mean, honestly, there aren't enough films about guys like him. They all kind of are about filmmakers or actors that are much more famous and have more name value than him. But man, I mean, these guys make a couple hundred movies or TV appearances in their career, and they deserve to be celebrated. I'm glad somebody made this movie.
Well, the thing is, if you don't know the name, the minute you see the guy, you go,
sure.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
And and if you've seen him, if you've ever seen a Joe Dante movie, then you've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was great. He was one. He was absolutely great. And you know, we lost him last year, right?
It was fairly last year or the year before. It was fairly recently.
Yeah, which is really too bad. He was something, man. Yeah, he was great. And this documentary is great. It's it's absolutely great. That guy, Dick Miller. All right.
It's available on Amazon Prime, too.
That's available on Amazon Prime. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, great movie. All right, guys, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Eric and Steve are going to hang on, and we are going to come back and talk more. We've got more of the best of the Chicago Critics Film Festival that you can watch at home right here on WGN.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Oh, Lord. What I said now.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline studio here until 4. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we are going to talk with best-selling author and speaker Valerie Genghis. You check out ValerieGenghis.com. That's coming up a little bit later on. Right now, though, Eric Childress, Steve Procopi join me to review all the new movies. There really haven't been any new ones. So we're giving you some suggestions because we're all stuck inside of what you can watch or stream or download. And we're taking all of these titles that were actually debuted at the Chicago Critics Film Festival over the years. It would have been her happening right now at the Music Box, but it's obviously not. So we're getting some advice from the guys. Eric.
Hello.
And Steve.
Hello.
All right, Eric, tell us about The One I Love.
Yeah, this is a another sort of low-key science fiction story starring Mark Duplass and Elizabeth Moss as a couple going through marriage problems, and they get recommended by their therapist, played by Ted Danson, and almost kind of a foreshadowing of The Good Place a little bit, to go to this retreat and work on their marriage, and then some surreal things begin to happen at this location. So that's really all you kind of want to know about it, but it's a really interesting look at relationships and you know, Elizabeth Moss, Nick, we
Please.
Know how you feel.
Please.
I know, exactly. She is one of the actresses that we are determined to get to this festival at some point. Her smell got opened a month before our festival last year. We were in talks to have a film of hers at the festival this year. We will bring Elizabeth Moss to this festival at some point.
Yeah.
That is my goal.
Yeah. And for people who have not seen Her Smell, I can't even expound about that performance. I mean, truly one of my
Please.
Favorite my, one of my favorite
yeah.
performances ever. Ever. And that movie's out. That's on like the HBO
mm-hmm.
channels that you can watch. And I can't recommend that movie highly enough. She's so unbelievable in it. And the one I love is also terrific because she's great in everything, man.
Yeah.
You just can't go wrong with her. So, all right. That's on Netflix. Okay. Steve, you got Willow Creek and Call Me Lucky.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of a weird situation. We played these movies back to back years, both directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. I mean, we all the programmers love him, from like Shakes the Clown to World's Greatest Dad to God Bless America, and we were thrilled to get Willow Creek, which is this, you know, very short found footage thing, horror movie about Bigfoot, but also about a relationship falling apart. It's a terrific little film. And the following year, Eric and I were at Sundance again, and we went to see Call Me Lucky, which is a completely different kind of film, a documentary about the late comedian Barry Crimmins and his personal history with sexual abuse in the Catholic Church and all this, and as well as just being like a really influential comedian. But we just went to see it at Sundance at the premiere, thinking, well, we're not going to invite it because we don't want to have the same guy 2 years in a row. And then I don't remember who said it first, but we just looked at each other like, we're booking that, right? Like, there's
no way we're
not booking Call Me Lucky. And it came together really easy, actually. And we got it. It's such a powerful, inspiring film. And a lot of people who went to that screening or have since seen the film said they've had it just had such a profound impact on them, either because they could identify with some of the aspects of it or just appreciated his fire, both about, again, about the church or about politics or just about comedy. So yeah, it's about as complete a portrait of a human being as you could have. So
yeah, great stuff. Bob Goldthwait, man, has become such a great filmmaker. And mm-hmm. I never, you know, back in the day, if you would have told me that the screaming guy from the Police Academy movies would turn out to be like one of the great directors, I would be like, get out of here.
Bobcat
has carte blanche to come to our fest anytime, and he said on stage very lovingly about that this was actually his favorite festival, again, for what Steve had said, because it's film critics acknowledging his work.
Yeah.
He's very humbled by that.
Yeah.
And I ran into him a couple years ago. He was in town directing a Patton Oswalt comedy special, the one that Patton did about his wife dying, and I just ran into him on the street because I was going to see the show, and he recognized me, and I said, dude, make another movie so we can have you back. And he was doing like that. He was doing like a series, I forget, for like TBS or something. But I'm just like, dude, you got to make another movie. We want you back so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So. He's great. He's really, really great. And I still say that World's Greatest Dad is the best thing Robin Williams ever did.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. I love that movie. And I remember when I saw it, you guys are familiar with the content of that film.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw it at the Century, the Landmark, the Friday that it opened, the first show. And I think because the title and the poster, you know, was like, hey, World's Greatest Dad, Robin Williams, there were many surprised senior citizens who there were walkouts. I mean, like within 10 minutes, people were like, okay, what is this?
Yeah.
So, all right. All right, Eric, Bat Kid Begins.
Yeah. I can't think of a more perfect movie for people to watch at this time. This is a documentary that was directed by Dana Nachman, but it was also co-written and edited by Kirk Kenny, who did Dear Zachary. And this is an uplifting documentary about, people might remember the story, about the Bat Kid, this young boy who had leukemia, and as part of his Make-A-Wish, the foundation, they turned San Francisco into Gotham City for him, and he got to live out his day as Batman or Bat Kid, and you watched how this entire process took place, and it's astounding. If you want just the greatest happy cry in the world, you watch this movie.
Yeah, it's great. It really is great, man. It really is. Steve, results unexpected.
Yeah, these are two films that starred Kobe Smulders, who came out, and I, again, like, I feel like, especially in the first couple of years, each guest we had some, like, kind of unique quality, and she was sort of like, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, that's kind of our first, like, glam factor. Like, she was, like, kind of a big deal. I mean, she was basically just from the Avengers movies and TV, but at the same time, it was like a huge deal that she was there. And again, two very different films, one from Andrew Bojalski, kind of a weird thing about people that were like in the fitness industry. The other one, again, a local production directed by Chris Swanberg, about a woman who finds out she's pregnant and then becomes friends with a high school girl who's also pregnant. Two very different performances, really showing, I think, Kobe Smulders' acting range to a degree, but it was just also such a great thing having her there because it felt just a little bit more Hollywood than we usually did, so I think we were really excited to have her there.
Okay. All right.
It was also on the weekend that Age of Ultron opened.
Right.
Oh, yeah, she really?
We had an Avenger in-house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
that weekend.
Okay. All right. This next one is a movie that I absolutely love, Eric. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Yeah, this was our closing night film in 2015. Two best friends who, in their spare time, sort of recreate versions of movies, but put their own sort of little independent spin on them. One of them ends up basically coaxed by his mom to befriend this girl who has cancer, off the street from him, and the friendship that develops with them. The girl is played by Olivia Cooke from Thoroughbreds and Bates Motel, and it's a really fun, it's a really funny movie, but a very sort of special movie.
Yeah. It's a really good film. Okay, Steve, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I still run into people that say that when they saw this at our festival, that it was like their favorite movie that year. And we just happened to catch Taika Waititi kind of right after What We Do in the Shadows, which was such a small little, like, wonderful art house horror comedy hit.
Which, by the way, has become a hilarious TV series.
Oh, the show's terrific.
It's so funny.
We caught him between that and Thor Ragnarok. So, and this is another one we picked up from Sundance. And it's like a true, you know, New Zealand experience, and about this little kid who's like an orphan, and he ends up having to be sort of raised by this guy, this old guy that doesn't even really want him there, played by Sam Neill.
Great performance, by the way.
Oh my God! Yeah,
oh, Sam Neill.
Almost unrecognizable, and the two just find sort of common ground, and it's one of the more painful things you'll ever see, but also really endearing, and they become the center of this sort of nationwide manhunt. So it's a terrific film. It's very funny. It really shows that side of Taika Waititi that's a little more sentimental than he's known for, and it's a perfect level of sentimentality because he doesn't layer it on. It's just like a really nice, subtle way of doing it. But man, I mean, just like I said, some people think this is the best movie that came out this year. It showed up on a lot of people's 10 best of the decade list. So,
Tom, I'm assuming your girlfriend adores this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I don't think many people cite Taika Waititi as their absolute favorite filmmaker, but she loves him and loves the way, and I love the way that he writes about kids. I really think that there's not a lot of filmmakers out there that can capture childhood in the way that he does. I especially love his 2010 film Boy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really spectacular performance from him as well as directing. So we own every movie he's ever made.
He got to play Hitler last year.
Yeah. Which is way funnier than anybody could have ever guessed.
Yeah. That was a great movie too. So all right, guys, hang on, okay? All right, Eric and Steve are here, and we'll come back, and we will wrap it up talking about more movies that you can stream or download that once played at the Chicago Film Festival. All right, Chicago Critics Film Festival, right here on WGN. Right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. We're going to talk about haunted places, the most haunted places in Chicago. And Valerie Gangas is going to join us. She's a best-selling author, a speaker, motivational. She's going to give us some advice on how we can get through what's going on in the world. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here on WGN, Eric Childress, Steve Procopi join us. Eric?
Hello.
And Steve.
Hey, this is Colin.
It's just, you know, for many years I said those names together, so.
That's the first time you've done that. I'm impressed.
I know. It is the first time. All right, Eric, let's get back to it. We're recommending movies that debuted at the Chicago Critics Film Fest, which would have been happening right now without the pandemic, but you've been picking movies that were shown at this festival. Life Animated.
Yeah, and this is a documentary, obviously a true story about a journalist who discovers that his young son is autistic. But the greater discovery is that he finds that he is able to communicate with his family through the use of Disney films. He absorbs these Disney films and is able to communicate the language and things like that. And if you ever want to see a movie that not only will make you kind of ugly cry through a lot of it, but that one of the things that will make you ugly cry is the appearance of Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
this is the one. This is an absolutely beautiful movie that about the sort of the literally the power of art upon the human world.
Yeah, it's a great movie. A really, really great movie. That's available on Hulu. It's called Life Animated. All right, Steve, operator.
Operator, not so much for the film itself, although I think the film is terrific, but just because Martin Starr came to town, this actually was actually his second time, if I'm not mistaken, coming in for the festival, but for let's just say this time was a little more memorable. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the more memorable time, yes? So he was great to everybody, just everybody, he talked to everybody, signed everything, took every picture. I think he even left a few voicemails for people, but it's a very cute little fun movie about a programmer, and he plays this programmer, and Mae Whitman plays sort of a, she's a comedian, I think, but they're sort of married, and then they decide to use each other in their work, and it's got a cool cast, like Cameron Esposito's in it, who I love.
Yeah.
She's another great comedian. Yeah. Retta, Christine Lottie is in it, but it's not a movie a lot of people know about or have ever seen or heard about, but it's a cute little movie, and Martin Starr, again, he's another guest I would have back anytime.
Oh, yeah.
He's so nice and so funny, and no vanity whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've always been a huge fan of his.
Yeah,
and I particularly I love him in Adventureland. Love him in that movie. Eric, American Fable.
Yeah, and this is a film that stars Peyton Kennedy, who has really started to blow up. You see her in a lot of projects lately. And she stars as this young girl in the Reagan era, so I think it's 1980, where she lives on a farm, lives nearby another farm, and discovers that there's a man, played by Richard Schiff, who has been kidnapped and put in the silo. And the movie is not only about the relationship that forms between the two of them, but also discovering that what's something more sinister may be going on in our town. It really sort of reminded me of sort of like one of Stephen King's sort of lower-key Castle Rock type projects. And it was filmed locally. It was filmed, you know, around the sort of the farmlands of Illinois. So we had a big premiere that night, and all these people came from all parts of Illinois to see the recognize the parts of Illinois that where they were filming this movie. It's a good little film, a beautifully shot film too.
Okay, all right. That's called American Fable. Amazon and iTunes. You can get it on Amazon and iTunes. Okay, Steve, The Little Hours.
I think it's the funniest film of 2017. We've had Jeff Baena's films, the writer-director of this film. We had another one of his films earlier called Joshy. But this one is just screamingly funny, sort of set in medieval times. There's nuns, there's monks, there's, you know, hired hands, and there's, as they used to call it, a bodice ripper. But, like, it's just, and there's witches, and it's just so funny, and the language doesn't match the setting, and Aubrey Plaza and Kate Micucci and Alison Brie and Dave Franco, and it's just like this, again, Nick Offerman, incredible cast, Molly Shannon, and we got Jeff Baena and Aubrey Plaza and Kate Micucci out for it, and I just remember that night being, well, it was sold out, first of all, but it was just like one of those rare instances where everything kind of went right, and it was just like a rousing success, and people were like screaming, laughing in the theater.
It's hilarious.
So funny. Yeah.
It's absolutely hilarious. It's called The Little Hours, and it's available on Netflix.
Yeah.
All right, Eric. Oh, boy. Lucky.
Yes.
Are you there, Eric?
Did we lose Eric?
We lost Eric.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, why don't we we'll get back to Lucky in a second. Well, you know, I think it's appropriate that Eric's not going to be on when we talk about the next movie, considering how much he hates it. Steve, you chose Southland Tales.
Oh, I didn't even know he hated it. I was literally about to say all of the critics who are programmers for the festival love this movie, but we realized it was like a 15-year anniversary or something. Maybe it was 10 years.
I
can't remember.
I think it was 10. Yeah.
10, yeah. And we just wanted to play it. And we were even able to get the director to come out. I mean, the film was a humongous bomb in every respect when it came out, and yet some of us really liked it. And it played like gangbusters. And I feel like I've known Richard for a few years over the years, and he obviously he was coming off of Donnie Darko at the time.
Yeah.
And but I've known him for a few years, and I know that he was like, he just felt weirdly vindicated by that screening.
Yeah.
Like, he just felt like, oh, I'm with my people for maybe the first time since he came out.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a great, really fun night.
It really was. And I love that movie, Southland Tales. Okay. Before we lost you, Eric, you're going to tell us about Lucky.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this film on on other shows as as something to recommend, but this is Harry Dean Stanton's sort of crowning performance shortly before he passed away. John Carroll Lynch directed this movie. It's a story about a 90-year-old guy who is has a bit of an episode. He's cantankerous. He doesn't want to be bothered.
He likes The Price is Right.
He watches The Price is Right, like we do. And there goes your Buick.
Yep.
And but then discovers that life is fleeting, and begins to sort of open himself up a little bit. And co-stars David Lynch,
yep,
of all people, in a great supporting performance. It's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful movie.
I
hate Southland Tales anymore.
Oh, I thought you hated it.
The first time I saw it, I did not like it at all.
Yeah.
But I grew to appreciate that movie, and when that was suggested for our retro film that year, I gave it my full blessing.
Oh yeah, I was there that night, man.
Yeah,
because I love Southland Tales. I love that movie. Okay, let's fly through some of these titles since we're running a little bit late. Eric, you chose Columbus.
Yeah, Coconata's film with the two beautiful performances by John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson.
Yeah.
A great drama that more people need to discover.
Agreed. Steve, you chose A Ghost Story. I love this movie.
My favorite film of 2017, so I love when we're able to play my favorite film. So.
Yeah, that's available on Netflix.
Yeah.
Eric, Bodied.
Yeah, another sort of perfect movie for our time that deals in the world of battle rap and how, woke culture is, also very fleeting.
Yep. let's see. First Reformed, Steve.
Paul Schrader.
Paul Schrader, yeah.
Yeah, but again, one of my favorite films of that year, and Paul Schrader was in town for that, and that was a heavy night, but it was a great night having him there.
Yeah. Now, the polar opposite of that, Eric, Support the Girls.
I love this movie.
Yeah,
a great highlight film for Regina Hall, who stars as this bar manager, sports bar manager, and also a really hilarious supporting turn, again, by Haley Lou Richardson.
Yeah, she's a terrific actress. Here's a great one, Abducted in Plain Sight and Three Identical Strangers.
That was a terrific year for documentaries in general, and those two films got such a visceral reaction from the crowds that went to see it. They didn't know what they were in for, and they were floored, and I will never forget how hard those movies landed. So
I was stunned by Three Identical Strangers.
Yeah.
As the running time went on and on, I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
You think you know what both of them are going to be about, and
right,
then they just keep going.
Yeah.
So.
Eric, Puzzle.
Yeah, and I brought this up not only because I like the movie with Kelly MacDonald, stars in it, but we also just lost recently Irfan Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And they star in this movie set in the world of competitive puzzling.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's a lovely little movie.
Okay. Steve, Eighth Grade. Great
movie.
Yeah,
well, it's Eighth Grade. And again, a Q&A moment, but there was a moment, and you can find it on YouTube and on the Critics Fest website, I believe, that Bo Burnham was in town, the writer-director, and he took a question from an eighth grader who he brought up on stage with him, and it just, it was like brought the place down. Like, that was a perfect way to end that Q&A.
Yeah.
He was a terrific guest, and the movie is just a beautiful, I've seen it many, many times.
Yeah, it's a great film. Eric, Brittany Runs a Marathon, really great movie.
Yeah, just a great highlight film. A movie that I was so proud to have at the festival last year. It was one of the biggest surprises I had at Sundance, and it's a hilarious movie that doesn't quite go exactly the way you think it's going to go.
Right.
So it's a really terrific movie.
The Nightingale, not for everybody, Steve. But
no, and that's kind of the reason I liked that we played it, not just because it's a tough, divisive film, although I don't think it was divisive among the people that we showed it to, but we had the star of the film, Ashley Franciosa, there, and she really just walked through it with people, and I think that made a huge difference in people digesting it and just getting through it and ultimately really loving the film.
I love it.
It makes a huge difference having her there,
And then really quickly, The Farewell, Eric.
Yeah, Lulu Wang's beautiful movie starring Awkwafina from last year, completely shut out at the Oscars.
Which is nuts,
real
actually.
Travesty.
Yeah. Okay.
But was a sold-out show at our festival last year.
There you go. All right, Eric, Steve, thanks. We will talk to you again next week. We got to hit the news.